Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review. Today, we're continuing with our lesson entitled Personal Evangelism, and we're on session number 3 this week, which is entitled Get Involved. Now, this session will help the student learn different ways to be involved in personal evangelism and understand how obedience and responsibility are necessary in personal evangelism. And as we always do, we want to pray that we'll be prepared to learn from this lesson, from our heart, and from our own experience in personal evangelism. We want to take time now to pray for each and every student that God will prepare your mind for action. If you want to make reference for a good scripture to meditate on as we prepare for this week's review is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And so let us take time now to pray for one another, pray for every student. We pray for every staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary, as well as all of those who are listening to these teachings around the world. Let us seek God even now. Father, we thank you now in the name of Jesus and by his precious Holy Spirit that was given to us. We thank you for the understanding and wisdom that you will reveal to us. We thank you today for your heart that you will reveal to us. And we thank you for your will that is being made known to us today. May we have a heart of obedience and faithfulness to carry out our part in your task. May your Holy Spirit empower us. May it guide us. May it direct our steps. May it prepare the hearts of those who need to receive the message of your coming kingdom. So we thank you for it now, and we bless and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome again, students, to our lesson summary review. We're on session 3 of the course, Personal Evangelism, which is entitled Get Involved. If you've studied with us over the last couple of weeks, we've studied Lesson 1 and Lesson 2, which is to be prepared and follow the pattern. And now let's talk about how to get involved or be involved with the work of God. And so one of the things that we want to begin with is I want to refer you to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I want you to make note of that particular portion of Scripture and read it if you haven't already done so. I'm going to read it from the NIV version. It's verse 28 of Matthew 11 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, in light of that scripture that I just read, let me ask you a question, students. Has your experience with Jesus been like that of a young ox learning how to plow? And how does it feel to have the easy yoke and the light burden that Jesus gives as compared to being weary and heavy laden or burdened? How does it feel to have the light burden and the easy yoke that Christ promises as opposed to working for yourself or for Satan, being bound and held captive to your own lust and desires? I want you to think about that for just a moment, for Christ is making a very profound statement to all of those who will come to him that he will relieve us of the heaviness of life, the burdens of sin and guilt, and release us from captivity. Another question we want to think about as we begin this week's lesson is, what was the strongest message that came to you as you read the lesson that we're reviewing this week? What was the strongest message that came to you? If you have a blank sheet of paper, go ahead and jot down what you think was the strongest message that came across to you. And I want you to use that message to build your enthusiasm as we study and as we live out the lessons that we were taught in this week's course. We're going to discuss a lot of the ways in which this lesson inspires us to action. Another thing that I'd like to comment on is Christ said, I will build my church. You can see a reference to that in Matthew 16:18. But we also know that he has called us to work with him in this great task. So let me ask you this. What is the difference in working for Jesus and working with Jesus? And I pray that as you went through this week's lesson, and as you go through this review with us, you will understand that we try to work for Jesus in our own wisdom and strength, as Peter did the night Jesus was arrested. You can see a reference for that in John chapter 18, verses 10 through 11. But when we work with Jesus, we depend on his guidance and strength, as Peter learned to do later. And you can see reference for that in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. So prayerfully, as you go through this week's lesson, you will learn that our task is not to work for Jesus using our own wisdom and knowledge, but to work with Jesus using his wisdom and knowledge through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So now let me give you the major headings that this lesson talked about. And I'd like for you to write these headings down, and we're going to discuss these during this review. The first major topic we're going to discuss is be obedient. The second point that we're going to talk about is be like salt. A third major topic we're going to discuss is be responsible. And our fourth major topic that we're going to discuss in this week's review is be committed. So we have be obedient, be like salt, be responsible, and be committed. These are the four major headings that this lesson review talks about. So let us begin with our first major heading, which is be obedient. The first objective asks us to explain the importance of obedience in personal witness. Now, for this part of our lesson, we have a visual aid, and we'll try to post the visual aid on our Facebook page following the broadcast. But let me briefly try to describe what the visual aid talks about. At the top of the visual aid, it has a heading, Obedience to Christ. And it has a picture of a bus and passengers are loading the bus, and a driver is sitting behind the driver's seat. And as people are boarding the bus, here's the question that is asked. How is living in obedience to Christ like being the driver of a bus that is bound for the kingdom of heaven? So that's the first image that the visual aid has. A second image, belief, that has a picture of a taxi car with the driver asking the passenger, where do you want to go? And the question that goes with this visual is, how is living in Christ not like being the driver of a taxi cab who follows the dictates or directions of their passengers? You notice that in the first visual, the bus already has a route that it's going to take. The driver already knows which directions to go, and you're simply a passenger on the bus. The second visual is when we try to dictate to the driver which direction we want to go. So we must understand the difference between being obedient to Christ is following his directions, allowing him to take you to where he wants you to go, as opposed to giving directions about which way to go. And this is going to be very relevant as we go through this lesson review, that we keep those two different visuals in mind. Now, as we continue with this study, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And this is commonly referred to as what we call the Great Commission, where Christ gave instructions final instructions to his disciples about what they were to do in the earth pending his return. And these are still the same type of instructions. Remember the visual of the bus driver? We're getting on board the bus, and the driver is going to take us in the direction that is already mapped out for us. Here it is in Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So as we read that particular text, I want you to identify what our motivation for obeying the Great Commission should be. And so, for instance, why did Jesus begin as he did in verse 18 by saying, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me"? Well, as you went through your study guide, and I want to emphasize with you today that this was a command from the highest authority on earth, and therefore should be carefully and diligently obeyed. I also want you students to comment on how diligent the church in general has been in obeying the command that we just read from Jesus. Here's the second question I want you to think about as we discuss being obedient, thinking about the Great Commission that Christ gave. What should motivate our obedience? The lesson alluded to this fact, and I want to bring to your understanding now, is that we should not obey in response to having already looked ahead at what we think will result from following God's guidance, and then we decide that God has given us good instructions. But we are to obey God in response to the fact that he has commanded us to do it, and that we have placed our trust in him. So we don't want to get caught up in saying, "Well, it seems like a good idea to me, so I guess I will do it." Some of God's commands may not seem like a good idea to you, but that does not negate the fact that it is indeed Christ's command or instructions to us. For he is our, so to speak, commander-in-chief. If we think about the visual aid, about the bus driver, he already knows the direction we need to go. We voluntarily get on board the bus and allow him to lead us in the right direction. So here are the instructions that Christ has given us, and we should obey him as good followers, as obedient children. I'd also like to note that the outcome of our obedience is his responsibility, since our obedience frees him, that is Jesus and the Holy Spirit, to work in the situation. On the opposite end, when we disregard his command and do things our way, the outcome is our responsibility. So I hope that you see the difference as we study session 3 of the course, Personal Evangelism. This lesson is entitled Get Involved. We just discussed the first major heading, which is to be obedient. To be obedient. So one final comment before we go to our second heading. According to the verses that we read in this section, we see that God expects us to obey his command to disciple all nations. We, in turn, can expect good things to result from our obedience to God. These things that he asks us to do, however, are not always easy to see immediately. We may not see results quickly. Here are some references you can take a look at. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 6, verse 15 through Acts chapter 7, verse 2. And one final scripture I want you to make note of is Acts chapter 7, verses 58 through Acts chapter 8, verse 4. And as you review those portions of scripture, you'll see that both Peter and Stephen preached similar sermons, but they had opposite results. Both were obeying the leading of the Holy Spirit as they preached, and God did bring good results from both sermons, but in different ways and at different times. Paul survived the persecution that he faced, and Stephen was martyred, but the results were the same. People came to know Jesus. So we see that it's not always easy. We may not always see immediate results, but nevertheless, we are to be obedient. Now let's take a look at our second major heading, which is be like salt. Be like salt. The second objective acts up to show ways in which the nature of a Christian is like salt. Now as we begin this review of this section, let me explain that Christians are a vital influence in the world, just as salt is a vital influence on food to improve or enhance its natural taste or to preserve it. So let's define this influence by reading some of the following passages and answering some of the following questions. If you're taking notes, write down John chapter 18, verse 36. And I want you to read that portion of Scripture. And as you do, I want you to describe the influence that Jesus says we are to have. So is our influence to be forceful or unforceful? If you read the context of that scripture, you'll see that God does not intend that we forcibly control others or even launch a violent overthrow of some oppressive rule as a church-sponsored ministry. We see that his kingdom advances as people willingly submit to his lordship and saving grace as a result of what God does in their hearts through the influence of believers. We need to understand, students, that outward submission that does not come from the heart brings no pleasure to God. So just as the visual we talked about earlier, the passengers voluntarily get on board. The driver does not force them on board. We, as we go forth, as we're going to be like salt, we simply influence people by our words, deeds, actions, behavior, thoughts, speech. We influence people to follow the way of Christ, but we cannot force them to do so. Another example we want to look at as it relates to be like salt is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, as well as Luke chapter 15, verse 2. I want you to do the same thing we did with the earlier scriptures. I want you to read those, and I want you to be able to answer this question. How will our deeds of serving, our speaking the truth in love, and the example of our Christ-like character have an impact in the world? How will those examples impact the world? Well, we understand from the context of our lesson and from those scriptures that our example will have an impact only as we mix with people in the world as Jesus did. We need to understand that God wants people to be confronted with his truth and his presence. But he always gives room, as we've alluded to earlier, for a voluntary, freely given response. It is this kind of response that Christian influence calls for. And this is why it's important for us to be like salt. We are to improve, enhance, and or to preserve people's lives for the sake of Christ Jesus. So I want you to share briefly. I want you to think about a moment of how you were influenced to follow Christ by the lives of another Christian that you may have known before you were saved, or by some example or idea of what you thought being saved was like. What was it that influenced you most to follow Christ? Now let's take a look at our third heading, which is to be responsible. So far we've talked about the fact that we must be obedient, that we must be like salt. Our third heading is to be responsible. To be responsible. So the third objective asks us to define the Christian's responsibility to help other people know Christ. Now, as we begin this section, I want to explain that passages like Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7 through 9, as well as Luke chapter 8, verse 39, apply to all believers. To paraphrase, they basically state that if we know what is right and we see a person going contrary to what is right, then we have a responsibility to at least share with them the error of their way. If the person does not listen, then we're not at fault if they face their consequence. But if we see a person going contrary to something that is right, which could be harmful for them, and we do not share with them the danger of their actions or attitudes or behavior, and if that person as a result faces a consequence, then we are somewhat responsible for that consequence. This is what it's like for us to be responsible, realizing that we have a responsibility to share the gospel of Christ with people who are dying in sin. It's like finding a cure for cancer, but you won't share the cure with cancer patients. And so those two scriptures basically speak to that same type of responsibility. So let me ask you this question. What does this responsibility given to us by God to help others in need tell us about his attitude toward people? Well, we see from the lesson that Christ has compassion that calls for action. So we should have a compassion that calls for action. Some people describe the word or define the word compassion as love in action. So we should have love in action by sharing the good news of the gospel with people. Now, in some countries, they have passed laws requiring citizens to help someone in an emergency situation. Here in some states in America, they call it a Good Samaritan law. So let me ask you, what do you think such laws indicate about man's attitude toward people in need? Well, these laws had to be made laws because some people would not act to help other people otherwise, and some people still may not choose to assist a person in need. So that tells us that human nature is greatly lacking in goodness. And so we need to make sure that we allow the nature of Christ to live in us so that we will take the responsibility to share the gospel with others. Here's another example we can look at. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, where Paul stated that he was a debtor to both the Greeks and the non-Greeks. And so the question is, how was Paul literally a debtor to these people? Well, we see that Paul understood the responsibility that God had given him. He knew that God had given him a message and a ministry for them. And until he delivered that message, he owed it to them. For illustration, if I give John some money to give to Peter, then John owes Peter the money until Peter receives it from John. So that is the same thing with us. If you think about Christ's great commission, he's given us a commission. Think about the commission as something he has commanded us to give to another person. Until we give that to the other person, we still owe it to them. And so we owe it to every person who we have not shared the gospel of Christ with. We still owe it to them until we have given it. So that is what that third section of our lesson about be responsible was about. Quickly, let's take a look at our fourth and final major heading of this lesson, which is to be committed. The fourth objective asks us to give reasons why we should want to be committed to sharing the good news. And for this, we have an exercise sheet for this section, and we'll try to post this as well on our Facebook page, or you can contact us to get a copy of the exercise sheet. But it has six questions, and let me go through these questions quickly with you. question number one is from Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 and verses 30 to 31, who speaks these words? Well, we understand as we read those texts that Jesus is speaking to his disciples and is letting us know that our commitment in personal evangelism is to the Lord who calls us. The second question is from Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, as well as Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. What does Christ say in these scriptures? Well, Jesus says, come follow me, which implies he is already going somewhere, and he wants us to go with him on a path of life that he has already decided to walk. The path that Christ asks us to follow involves the task of discipling. So, saints, our commitment is to helping Jesus with his work. The third question is, where does he say we are to do this work? Well, in Matthew 28, it says the task is to all nations. So our commitment is to all nations. Question number four, how will we be able to do this work? You can find it in Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 through 30, as well as chapter 28, verse 20. We can read where Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, which shows that he is already involved in the task and invites us to join him in doing it with him. And as we are yoked with Jesus, we learn from him. He promises also that I am with you always. So, students, our commitment involves depending on him to help us do the task. Question number five. How many are needed for the task? You can see a reference in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 to 38, which says that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So there are many workers that are needed. And that means that we must ask God to send more workers. Knowing of this great need to share the gospel helps us make a commitment to people that are in need of the gospel. And our sixth and final question for the exercise sheet is, what will happen when this task is completed? See reference to Matthew 24, verse 14, as well as verses 30 to 31. Well, when this task is completed, then Jesus will return. Once the gospel of the kingdom is shared with all nations, then the end will come, the scripture says. So our commitment increases with our anticipation of seeing Jesus. That is why we must be committed, students. Now, in conclusion for this week's lesson review, I want you to look at page 54 under the For You to Do section and think about what it means to be completely dedicated to the things of Christ. Does that mean that all of us should be in full-time ministry, or that our level of commitment should be that we actively seek opportunities to share the gospel no matter what our occupation may be? Notice the early disciples did not change occupations. The fishermen were still fishermen. Paul was a tent maker. He was still a tent maker. But they made a commitment to share the gospel wherever they were. So I want to pray for each and every one of you students, and I want you to pray for yourself about what does it mean for you to give yourself completely to sharing the good news of Jesus. I want you to pray asking God to show you specifically what it means for you and how you will respond to him. Again, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to share with you session 3 of the course Personal Evangelism. I pray that each and every one of us will understand our role in evangelism and that we will get involved. Until our next session, God bless you and good day.